You're now listening to Trap Conscious Radio. All right, I'm recording again. I had to stop and don't do that shit again. Nobody else gets shine on our platform but us.
Fuck it. Let's start off.
No brunch club. No fucking slab TV.
It's a lot of places that we can start off today. But just in my heart, like, I want to start off with that Out to Sirland video.
Is that where you want to start?
The weekend. That's where I want to start.
Well, that's a little heavy. Let's ease our way into more disheartening topics. Yeah. Can I just start out by addressing just something for the culture I saw over the past week, which was the video of Fabulous and his...
Okay, go ahead. You said, listen, you said it's too heavy. You said too heavy, and you want to start off with some haymakers.
Nah, chill. I mean, I think it's important to address, like, this is the culture, and today that's going to be the main theme, is an introspective look on the culture. This is hip-hop. Now, full disclosure or disclaimers before we go too much further, this isn't a posture of judgment. Like, we're not taking up a judgmental posture, or at least I won't purposely come across condescending or in any way.
I'm just speaking from the essence.
I'm just speaking on from an observe and report standpoint. That's pretty much what this has always been. And so to bring it back to Fabulous, rapper extraordinaire, punchline, one of the punchline kings, one of the kings of the caption, Snapchat captions and Instagram captions, Mr. Fabulous himself, Fabolous. There's a video going around stemming from an incident between him and his common law wife or baby mom or girlfriend, whatever you call her, in which he's making threats and aggressive gestures toward her out front of their, in the driveway of their house. And it's like her father. And so TMZ is reporting that he allegedly hit her 7 times and knocked her front teeth out, which I was laughing at that, which I know I shouldn't, but that just speaks to the overall mindset of, or that just speaks to how hip hop has, or the culture has, desensitized and altered my perspective on bad behavior. So we talked about NBA YoungBoy abusing his girlfriend and the rest of these mumble rappers abusing their girlfriends, and how the culture have been seeming to give them somewhat of a pass. And even if you go back to our Black Panther review, I so elegantly illustrated, or I dropped this nugget or this jewel, where I saw a scene in the movie of Michael B. Jordan choking up an old black lady and telling her, when I say that shit, when I say something, I mean that shit. And
he ain't wanna have to ask twice.
And when I said that, I was like, yo, from my observation, this is just YBF, Trap Conscious Extraordinaire. There was a segment of the female population or the female audience who saw that, and there was some sort of arousal behind that action. There was some sort of visceral response to that, and it was somewhat sexual and somewhat co-signing or condoning of that action. And people was like, no, you tripping. I sat through like an intellectual forum. Me and MB went to this deep dive on the movie where we sat with other intellectuals, professors and of that type. And I introduced that aspect, and they were looking at me like, no, man, you crazy. And I was like, what do I know? I have 5 years of education. I'm a post-traumatic veteran, just a black dude from Queens. But
go ahead and give yourself some more qualifiers.
But I was able to see something that I think now is becoming more and more apparent within the culture. And there's this, I won't say double standard, there's this sickness within the culture, and it's becoming more and more amplified and exemplifying itself through subtle stories like this where you see a man allegedly, or just the optics of what we saw in the video. Let's not even speculate on what could have happened or the allegations. Just what we saw in the video. There was people still leaping to justify a lot of the actions we saw in the video, all because they are fans of said rapper, entertainer, movie, actor, whatever you want to call it. And to me, that just speaks to what I was talking about, where I said, like, or it just speaks to the idea that nobody's going to ever take us serious as a culture, because this culture needs cleansing. It needs to be reformed. A lot of the things we accept as normal behavior in our culture, we can't always say, oh, this is white supremacy that's making us do that. I mean, we have plenty of episodes where we belabor the point to black people that white supremacy is responsible for a lot of our behaviors. But then we should also be able to take the same introspective look at ourselves as a culture and be like, yo, a lot of the shit we allow and a lot of shit we condone is our own fault and of our own doing. You saw the video, correct? I'm speaking with Kaiser Babic, Trap Conscious alumni, founding father of a lot of our philosophies. What did you observe in that video and the subsequent response that you saw?
What I want to do is give John Jackson all
presumptions of innocence.
All presumptions of innocence. Listen, when you say this is what the culture breed and you say white supremacy and all of that, listen, I step back and I think, and I know it's going to ruffle a lot of people's feathers, but...
Ruffle the motherfuckers.
I'm just saying, I don't know what happened. You know, I don't know what happened in this love and hip-hop kind of world and this the life of celebrity entertainers, but I think the reason that females and you know what I'm saying, just like the culture in general, turn the eye to what Fab do or what entertainers do, because everybody has a personal life, and it's just that if it wasn't Emily Bean, it wasn't Fabulous, it wouldn't be headline news. Like, it's people down the street, next door to you, at work, that have domestic violence issues every day. People grew up in the house with domestic violence issues every day. So, like, you're right when you say people are desensitized to it, but people are desensitized to it because in real life nature, is going to be conflict. It's going to be conflict with people that you share close proximity with and you make life decisions with every day. And should the answer to that be violence? No. The answer to that shouldn't be violence. But like you said, we as a culture, we glorify violence. So when violence happened in the household, they put this double standard as, oh, well, this man is beating his women, or even if it's the same sex relationships, you know what I'm saying? This more masculine female is beating up on the prettier female, or the damsel in distress is the one that's doing the hitting.
Yeah,
you know, so we need to really look at ourselves and say, is it just men beating on women, or is it a lot of women that's hitting men as well? And is that since they're smaller, they're allowed to get away with it? And in our society, when you're a little kid and you got sons, you got daughters, and your daughter hits the boy, and you tell the boy like, don't hit the girl back. But a lot of times in culture, you hear a mom say, nah, fuck that. Like, if that little girl keep hitting my boy, I'm gonna tell my boy you better hit her back. If you don't got no sister, I mean, I know you done heard that. I know you done heard that in the culture. But my thing is like this. I think for my friends that had daughters, and I done bring it up to them, I said, well, what's the difference between you spanking your daughter and you hitting her mom? And people are like, oh, well, it's different. You disciplining. I'm like, man, you're disciplining your daughter and blah, blah, blah. And I think in my head, like, well, this is your kid. And you can't get your kid to respond to you any other way except for by beating them. But where did you learn that at? You learned that on the slave plantation. Like, if somebody don't give you the outcome that you were looking for, then you have all rights to accost them and put your hands on them, because they belong to you. They're your property. Now in the domestic violence issue, just like with Fab or Rap and Rihanna and Chris Brown, nobody knows what's happening. Everybody always say this shit like, oh, you can't put hands on nobody, you can't do anything. Like, yo, you... Like with Bill Burr, there's certain situations like where there's no situation where a man should put his hands on a woman or a woman should put her hands on a man. But there's some things that in life that you do to people. If you go burn somebody $5 million house down, you should expect physical violence. And you shouldn't be able to use that, like, well, we're in a relationship. Because if it was a girl and a girl, and a girl not in LGBT thought, nobody would say anything. Well, I mean, people were still saying, you know, there shouldn't be no violence, but just like when a man gets fucking boiling grits thrown on him, you gotta ask yourself, like, what the fuck did he do to further throw grits on his ass?
Put this incident in a vacuum really quick. And let's take away blame. Let's take away the fact that Fabulous could have been at fault, or Emily could have hit him first, or her brother or dad could have done something. Just let's talk about the way we as a culture, we like to rationalize away wrongdoings. So it's like, take the domestic violence aspect just in a vacuum, not saying who's right or wrong. But the response to the video is, instead of saying, yo, this is a problem, like, this is this to me, that wasn't something I never saw before. That was common. Like, I can interject myself into that same scenario. I've had arguments with my girl at the house. You've been at the house when I've had arguments before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everybody has these arguments that get from 0 to 100. And if that, people got you on camera, they probably had you saying some crazy shit.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the response. And when I say stuff, I'm only speaking from a perspective where I put myself in the category. When I'm saying us and we.
Let's keep it real. Hey, let's keep it real. When you got money, you can get away with way more shit than a broke nigga could.
Facts. And when people like your songs,
say, like, oh, you don't leave this man. They're like, she ain't about to leave him. He rich. So, like I said, so if you rich, you can get away with stuff.
So, I mean, you have people with tickets to the Freddie versus Jason concert.
Yeah,
they're gonna try to rationalize this situation away as best they can. I mean, maybe it was something that Emily did, or we don't know all the facts, or maybe we just you know what I'm saying, it's always this maybe and but, and maybe this is what happened. Or,
but listen, but hey, let me ask you: is it really this? Is it really domestic violence that's the issue, or is it the fact that a man is hitting a woman that's the issue?
It's all of it. The kids was in the background crying. It's dysfunction, and we. Instead of addressing dysfunction.
Yeah, the kids, I didn't hear the kids in the background crying. That's crazy.
I did. But like, okay, so we could have had two responses to the video as a culture. Like, we could have took the approach like, yo, this is fucked up. Like, what is this? This is sad. This is that. But we took a, but the overwhelming majority of the responses, because I do a case study when stuff like this happens.
Because you're in the culture. So when you're on the outside looking in, you know what I'm saying? From when you're on the outside looking in, it looks like one thing. But when you're inside the culture, like you said, once you can interject yourself into that, you can empathize with people in these situations. Like, all right, well, shit, Fab been whooping her ass. Like, what all the other 7 years of the video she been getting her ass whooped? Because it's people, like, you know what I'm saying? It's people, like I said, you're not a woman beater till you hit a woman or whatever it is. Like I said, it could be a situation. Like, I'm not trying to rationalize wrong behavior. I'm just trying to rationalize, like what Whoopi Goldberg said, like, don't hit somebody. And I'm not saying Emily be hit fair. I'm just saying, don't hit somebody. And then when they hit you back, say, well, that's not the response I was looking for. You know what I'm saying? Don't call your dad. Like, you called your dad over there. I'm just thinking in my head, a woman, you called your dad over there because you wanted man protect. You called your dad and your brother because you said, I know some guys that I can get that could beat your ass. You know what I'm saying? Because you didn't call him over there. They help you pack some bags. You called him over there to whoop Fab's ass.
Oh, well, allegedly she called him to come get a gun out of her house. I mean, this is all alleged.
Okay, yeah. Allegedly, she called her dad and her brother. Everybody knows in the hood, you talk trash to a girl that she gonna go get her brother.
Yeah.
So, and I don't blame her for doing that. Like, you didn't want to get the cops involved, or what, if you got the cops involved, like, hey, it's all within your rights, and as a father, you're gonna go protect your daughter. You know what I'm saying? But the way that Fab was talking, like, yeah, what the fuck he doing at my house? And why you call these, you know what I'm saying, to my motherfucking house? Like, you know what I'm saying? And then she was still next to Fab, like, she wanted to be with him. Like, fuck all the bullshit. You think she gonna leave him or not?
Nah, come on.
Fans really want
to know. I mean, if we getting back into some silly shit, no, she ain't gonna leave him. We know that. You know what I'm saying? I'm surprised it even got to the point of her calling the cops.
Why she ain't gonna leave him? Why she ain't gonna leave him?
It's not even just money. It's just security. When a woman loves a man, she tries to, like, see past all of his flaws and get back to the good part. You know what I'm saying? The good part that she sees in him. They got kids together. You know what I'm saying? He's...
It's her life. This is her life.
Yeah. I'm just saying, so much of what he is a form of security in her life. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's hard to remove yourself from that. no like, matter how bad Emily the situation
B.
is.
I mean, let's be honest. She Emily B because she's Fab's baby mama.
Yeah.
Like, you have fashion shows. You made it on the TV shows because of Fab. And that's what I said, like, with black relationships, I don't condone people smacking up females, even though I'm used to that culture. But, like you said, she's going to stay with Fab because she still probably thinks, like, I owe a lot of this to him. And like we said, probably, I don't know the mitigating circumstances of what happened. But like you said, just like what happened with the Chris Brown stuff. And a lot of women, though, that's why a lot of women take these men's side. They're like, yo, we know we be doing some shit to push these men's buttons. Go ahead and hit me, motherfucker. Do it.
So, I mean, if that's what you think the answer is, if that's what you're saying,
no,
there,
I don't know.
No, not saying that you're saying that's the answer. If that's the justification that they give, I'm willing to hear that. Like, let's just be honest. All I'm asking is to be honest. That's why I said, I started out by saying, let's be introspective about this. And that's why I said, let's just put it in a vacuum. Let's give everybody their presumption of innocence until proven further. But let's just take the incident in a vacuum and then let's look at the response by the culture. Unless the culture is not these people in the comment section and I have it all wrong, the response
is... You're right. Let me ask you. Even being politically correct, do you think there's ever any time where a man should be able to strike a woman?
In proper context. Anytime. No one should be hitting anybody. That's just... You asked me what I believe.
All lives matter. I didn't ask you no all lives matter shit. That's what you're trying to do to me.
And no, in the confines of a relationship, no. Anytime self-preservation becomes the topic or the question that we're at hand, then yes, you should be able to defend yourself and preserve your safety as a human. Right. But anything further than that...
If your life is on the line...
Not even if your life is on the line, just to preserve yourself. Like, if you choose and willingly let a woman hit you in the face, that's because you've calculated the estimated amount of damage and you say, okay, I'm willing to suffer or incur this amount of damage to not cross some sort of moral line. But
you rationalize her abusing you.
Yeah. But if you think that just a simple slap is too much for your physical to endure and you feel like you have to prevent that, then just by laws of nature, I'm saying, okay, by laws of nature, you're justified.
You're right, but listen, I think all women, not all women, because you can never go, but I think a vast majority of women, just like they said, like, they let these broke motherfuckers slap them, so they gonna let a rich person slap them.
Yeah, that's why I said it's not about money.
They gonna justify, like, yo, okay, I got slapped. They're probably thinking in their head, though, it's a 10 million other thing I deserve to get slapped for, too, you know what I'm saying? That I didn't get slapped over. Like, when I took that fucking credit card and I spent $50,000, I was pissed off.
Yeah.
You know? I made him miss a show or whatever it was. You know what I'm saying? It's other reason that not that you shouldn't have got slapped, but you should have been reprimanded. But since you're grown, it was, you know what I'm saying, it's hard to reprimand you.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, like,
Go ahead. I'll let you finish your thoughts and then.
Yeah, I was just saying in the context for me, for Trap Conscious Radio, no one I don't think I got a twisted mind because I remember somebody explained this to me, like, it's worse to go knock out a stranger than it is to knock out somebody that you live with every day.
Yeah.
Because they said most times you never see that stranger, you're never going to meet that stranger again. Y'all had some little dumb altercation, somebody stepped on your shoes or whatever it was, and you had a fight with somebody. You know what I'm saying? That shouldn't happen. But when you, like I said, when you live with somebody, you spend 12 to 16 hours with somebody every day. And they're talking about y'all in a relationship and y'all can push each other's buttons and you go in the other room, they follow you in that room, or you don't follow them, or you know what I'm saying, you get the bored treatment or the cold shoulder, and y'all just in there activating each other all day. Everybody reaches a breaking point. Everybody, like they said, you set a camera in somebody else, you can hear spouses saying all sorts of crazy shit all day when other walk out the room.
Damn,
I can't stand their ass.
Not
damn,
to cut you off, stand. But that's why I didn't want to talk about. I didn't want to talk about domestic violence. In the terms of, I wanted to talk about the response, because this whole pod that we're about to do, it's right. All about the mentality of the culture. Like we can you're break right. down why domestic violence happens, why people stay, why people do what they do. I'm talking about the response.
Yeah, you're right. I took the wrong approach. The response about it. there's some anger. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of the same. Like, the response is, like, you would think like people would be dragging, that they would be dragging Fab. Like, how they would, how the NFL was trying to do Ray Rice. And you know what I'm saying? But it's...
Yeah, but, I mean... KB left off with Ray Rice. We got Scruff on the pod with us now. Scruff, did you... Me and KB have been talking about the incident between Fabulous and his wife or his girlfriend. Are you up on that?
Yeah.
And we mostly talking about the response from the culture, the trolls in the comments. Like, I'm taking that as the culture's response to it, because I have no other way of gauging how the culture responds to stuff other than comment sections and Twitter posts that have the hashtag Fabulous Emily B in it. What's your response to the video, or what's your idea, or what's your opinion on the response that the Fabulous domestic violence, quote unquote, issue is getting? Or do you have?
I know as much as y'all know, but from what I can tell is basically the culture is accepting of the domestic violence in a sense. From what I've seen, all of them, but majority of them, I'm still gonna rock Fab. You know, he's still the man. By making memes of situations and making humor of it and accepting it in a way of accepting it, like, it's not that serious to nobody. So in a sense, my response would be they accept it. Yeah. You know, if you don't shun somebody or you don't correct them, then you accept it, right? So. Yeah. Or you have no, I don't know.
There's this unwillingness in the culture to be the one to stand out and say, you know what, fuck this bullshit. Like, no one wants to be the hater. No one wants to be the voice of reason in a lot of situations. So every time an incident happens, now the response within the culture is to try to, let's find some common ground where everybody can get to a point of absolution, where it's like no one has to feel bad about it. So let's find a point where we could all agree that Fab's still good to support, or insert rapper name, insert actor name, they're still acceptable. Like, no one wants to be the one that says, yo, did y'all see that video? Like, this shit is crazy. What y'all gonna do about it? What's y'all response gonna be? Are y'all gonna boycott his concerts? And that brings me to my next topic, or my next... Well, it refocused me back on the theme of this podcast, which is, I started out with KB by saying, like, we oftentimes come on the podcast and we like to highlight and point out where white supremacy has affected our behavior as a culture, or where they have done something to where we can ultimately blame them for how we respond to that. But I'm saying in this case, or what I'm seeing lately, is like a lot of the shit we're doing is... It's self-inflicted. And you're not a coon, or you're not a traitor of your race by bringing it up. Actually, you are a coon and you're a traitor of your race if you allow shit to go unchecked. So, Thoughts and Savages. I'm one of my most...
God, I think you were about to say Thoughts and Savages.
Thoughts and Savages. There was a time on this podcast where I famously and controversially said, I feel like there's a segment of people within our culture, and I identified them by what they like to be called, because they call themselves this, Thoughts and Savages. And I know when I speak in this tone, if I'm not saying, yo, son, my nigga, people say, oh, he's in that bag, or he's going to start speaking condescending and all that other shit. But no, I'm just speaking of clear mind. I'm not on the Hennessy today. I've been off pork and other red meats for a month. So I've been able to see clearly, like, yo, Thoughts and Savages, KB, Scruff, let's talk about Stephen Clark, Stephon Clark, his unjustifiable murder, being shot by police 20 times, or shot at 20 times, hit 8 times, 7 of which he was hit from behind. We learned that based on who, Dr. Ben Omalu, his autopsy. Can we break down the behavior of Stephon Clark? What all do you know about this individual? And
what I know basically, all
respect to the dead. Respect to the dead, and not to shit on his image, but let's talk about him. Scruff, you can go first.
From what I gather from different sources, basically, what I know about him and his situation, the incident is, it was nighttime, and it was called in that there was some car break-ins or vandalism or some sort of disturbance or illegal activity, and which caused the police to be investigating and then
called to the scene.
They can't. I guess they happened to see someone go around the building or whatever, or they made contact and wanted to speak to someone, and which is Stephen Clark, and I guess he ran around the building or ran from them. Let me tell you one thing. I don't want to get deep into this yet, but when you run from the cops, you make them automatically mad. Ain't no happiness in chasing you.
Chill.
You know what I'm saying? You automatically escalate a situation if you run off. You know, so being that, you know, they investigated, they came across him, and ultimately he got 20. You know, he got street justice on the spot.
Yes. Okay.
For whatever alleged he done.
Street justice.
Hold on, KB. I'm coming to you. So KB, I'm gonna toss it to you with this segue. So I also talked about police encounters as well during that famous Thoughts and Savage rant where I voluntarily said, you know what, I'm cooning, because I knew I couldn't say anything that I was saying and then not be looked at any other way other than cooning and tap dancing for master, as some people say it, buck dancing. And I was like, yo, we also have to talk about how we come in contact with police and how certain of our actions are provocational. Now, I'm not saying that's what this was, but I'm saying that it played a part in this. So, KB, when I talk about Thoughts and Savages, one of our main back and forth was that we have to try our best to save certain people from themselves. And I said, you know what? Some people are beyond saving. Like, it's almost a waste of time to focus on certain people who are hell bent on living a destructive lifestyle. I happened to come across a few tweets by Mr. Stephon Clark. And you know, during I think it was episode 8 when I said I no longer rush to judgment on any of these encounters, because I believe the media does this purposely, where they half leak information to get the community and the masses at large riled up, and only to pull the rug from underneath us when they reveal it, the sleight of hand that we talked about, where the reveal is that this person was everything that it was, the complete opposite of what we thought it was, and it makes us look bad, and it publicly undercuts our efforts and our protest and our champion for.
Cut shit, because I don't think the white people think that shit about us anymore.
I'm not saying black people. I'm not saying white people. I'm saying with black people, because you have the types like myself who say, "Yo, I'm all for black empowerment, freedom, justice, equality for black people," and I'm not gonna waste time and efforts on people who want to run around living a lifestyle that's counterproductive to that, even if they have the same color skin as myself. I told you, those are not my people. That's not my family.
I've been told you that. Listen. Back when I used to tell you a long time ago, now everybody not going to make it to the promised land. Somebody, a lot of these motherfuckers going to die. You know what I'm saying? And that's real. But before I go any further, I want to take a moment right now, honestly, to say rest in peace to Winnie Mandela that passed away earlier today. The ex-wife of former South American President Nelson Mandela. And she was, you know, a leading civil rights activist in the apartheid going on down there in South Africa. So I want to give her a moment of silence.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Now, listen. When we talk about the Stephon Clark thing, because I've been hearing conflicts, I know what happened, but when these motherfuckers came out there with night vision goggles on and shit. But the thermonuclear footage. But they said he wasn't even a suspect. That's the problem. That's my problem with it. My problem with it is, yeah, he ran. Yeah, y'all shot him in his grandmother's backyard. Y'all shot him 8 times, which is wrong. He didn't even have a gun on. But for the simple fact is, like, y'all got to call him, and me, I shot the wrong person. Like, he wasn't even the person that y'all was even looking for.
Says who?
That was mainstream media said that he wasn't the suspect.
Was he the person that they was tracking on night vision, the thermo imaging that you saw from the helicopter?
Somebody was breaking into that area and they rolled up on him. He ran, but he wasn't. Later on, after they killed him, they found out he wasn't the suspect. He didn't have crowbar any of this shit. You know what I'm saying? None of that. You know what I'm saying? So he definitely took off and ran from the cops. I'm not disputing that, but they said, this is just left wing media talking. They said that he wasn't the suspect. The suspect ended up being somebody totally different. And I mean, like, once they pieced it together, like, oh, this isn't the right guy. But it's like what I said about the cops. The cops are slave catchers. But in that part of slave catching, black people, like you said, black people don't know how to get arrested right. I'm trying to tell you, as soon as they say that your hands on the call, or they say you're under arrest, as soon as you do anything that contradicts what they're saying, it goes against what they're saying, you're resisting arrest. Even if you think it's bullshit. As soon as they say those words, like, now you're resisting. In the eyes of the law, you're resisting.
Yeah. I mean, that we talked about that. And then some people say, yo, run. You still got to run because they're going to do this. And I was like, you can, but you know what that's going to get you.
I was just about to tell you that. See, we got this double-edged sword where, okay, you sit there and you let the cops do what they do. But being a black man growing up in the culture, like, you know what happens when the cops come around you. Now, they might not do that in middle-class black America or if you got some affluency about yourself. But if you poor and you don't have any money, they're going to do what the fuck they want to do to you. I don't care how nobody think about it because I was out there. And we wasn't out there to make crimes all these times where these cops rolled up on us and threw us against the gate or when they kicked the doors in talking about what the drugs are, just because they feel like doing this shit. So I'm not here fucking around talking about false advertising. Like, I'm fucking around here like, nah, fuck the bullshit. Like, these cops running around here doing whatever the fuck they want to do, whatever they feel like doing. A black cop, white cop, Mexican cop, we the blue gang. And yeah, do they save some people? Yeah, they save some people because that's a part of their job. They say, if we're going to let y'all go around and bully people, then y'all going to go in that motherfucking bank and stop that criminal.
Yeah.
Y'all going to do that as well.
But hey, listen.
Let's not sit here and act like these cops are these fucking heroes.
Nobody's doing that. We're not talking about what the mainstream media is doing. We're talking about what we're doing. Nobody's doing that on this show.
Yeah, but listen, we are confrontational. Even as a young people, like they say, it's hard just to talk to people in the black community. Like, oh, why did y'all fight? Why can't y'all just talk it out? You know what I'm saying? So, we don't react well.
Scruff, what was you about to say? Hold on, real quick. What was you about to say? So you don't forget it? I thought Scarf was about to say something.
When you got the opposition coming in your neighborhood, hitting you with bullshit laws and shit all the time. Now, you're right. The behavior that we're doing that, we shouldn't do the behavior that leads to the cops coming in the first place. That is true. All that's not, like you said, all of this not white supremacy. You should have.
I didn't say that first part that you said. That's what you're saying. No, don't quote me as saying anything I didn't say.
Hold on, what first part?
That first part.
So what is
said,
it, KB?
What first part did I just say that?
That part where you said, yeah, we are doing things to get cops to come into our neighborhood. I never said that. That wasn't a direct quote from YBF.
Yeah, but it can be interpreted that way, so you're right.
I don't leave much up to interpretation because I purposely say everything that I want to be conveyed across through my own words.
What I'm saying is this. If you're not doing criminal activity and the cops approach you and you're not cooning, you're just being professional, and you really honestly know, yo, I'm in this car is registered to me, or this handgun is registered to me, and I have the proper paperwork and identification and all these things.
To me, Stephen Clark is a tragedy of what I talked about months ago when I said living the lifestyle of a savage will catch up to you. I also famously always say famously, when you control the radius of a man's thoughts, you control the circumference of his actions. I've said that on numerous occasions. Hold on. Am I not talking? Or Scruff, can you hear me?
Testing.
1, 2, 3. I'm calling him a savage. I don't care what mainstream media calls him. I don't care what the black community is going to rush to deify him and make him some sort of deity that we now lives on in eternity as a symbol of. No, this is what I'm saying. And as a part of this introspective look into our culture, like, let's stop condoning bullshit behavior. And then on the flip side, trying to justify how somehow this can be turned into something where we all meet on some sort of common ground.
That's what I'm telling you. The masses are saying that Stephen Clark is a fucking coon that hated black people.
Okay, the masses, your perception of what the masses are because you stay focused to conscious sort of news and conscious news forums and structures. So that's your mass. But I'm talking about the ignorant 85%. What, Fox News?
I said I'll be on CNN and Fox News.
No. I'm talking about black Twitter. I'm talking about Instagram. I'm talking about black social media response to this shit. I'm talking about what I see in Sacramento as far as like the protests and the rallies behind it. Everybody that dies and everybody that dies at police, the hands of police. There's two different arguments going on right now.
They're not innocent. You're right.
Yo, can I? Am I gonna be able to make my fucking points? Or are we gonna let you interject before I can make any points? And by the way, people, I love this man. This is my brother, but I will bark on his ass at any given moment.
Are we not gonna say
you know what, everybody that. And secondly, not only that everybody that dies is not a saint and a deity, because we have to look at the lifestyle they're living. So when you look deeper into Stephen Clark and you get more context of what kind of person this is the danger of being the type of person that I encourage black people to go away from and disassociate ourselves with. And for those who want to subscribe to that lifestyle, I also encourage them and implore them to think about changing their actions. This was a guy who numerously, post after post, talks about robbing somebody and stealing somebody. This is out of his mouth, out of his words. This is straight from his feed. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, I'm not getting it. You'll never hear about me stealing shit, but I know for a fact y'all know a few people that I robbed. I respect the nigga that rob a nigga before they steal. Take it from a nigga in his face. No honor amongst these, but rob before you steal. A thief will steal from their own blood. And like, this is that mentality that I was talking about. When these are your thoughts, then the circumference of your actions are really easy to predict. And that makes you an easy target in the system of white supremacy. People think being tough and being a thug and being wild and a savage, that projects some sort of toughness and posture. But to me, that shows the weaker aspect of what a man is and what a black man is. And that's why it's very important to at all times denounce yourself from that and say, yo, as a culture, we're not fucking with that. That's not the way to go. The strongest, like, have you noticed that, like, in most cases, I'm not saying in every case because you have those incidents, but most of these people who have been killed by police are they fit one sort of archetype. They fit a similar archetype where they come from a portion in a section of our community that's very easy to exploit and to be taken advantage of because they're not equipped with the proper tools to navigate this game. This is chess, not checkers.
I have to say I agree 100% with you. And it takes a strong-willed individual, a like-minded and very educated and conscious brother to understand the whole scenario of the culture and in the culture. You couldn't have said it any better. I mean,
I respect that. And I know the five brothers and the sister that does the show with me, we all have similar ways of thinking. So we are able to process and understand what it is that I'm saying. But I'm speaking to like the larger audience who's going to probably take this as, oh, this nigga's hating, or he's off balance, or he's off basis with what he's saying. And then everybody that dies does not instantly make their family a social justice warrior. You have to put everything in context. It's very dangerous when we elevate these people and allow them to speak for the overall movement of us as a people, and they're not equipped to do so. So Stevante Clark is a product of all the bad aspects of the culture that I constantly harp on and constantly talk about. He's a machination and a manifestation of that, being given a huge platform to say something when he should never have been given that platform in the first place, to coon and buffoon and make a fucking mockery of his brother's death. And
well, they would have killed his brother, he wouldn't have that platform in the first place.
It's all systematic, KB.
Yeah, it's systematic. It is systematic, but it's still listen, like you said, it's a niche part of the culture that they go pull this shit off on. They pull it off on the poorest, disenfranchised people, right? That they know it can't fight back. That they know, like, yo, if I pull this guy over, it's a good chance that he may have some drugs in his
face. I saw I'm with Stevante t-shirt, my nigga. It's Stevante is now a SoundCloud rapper. People don't get what it is I'm saying, yo.
No, I do get it. That's the same shit they did with hide your family, hide your kids. He raping everybody.
I'm asking you a question, KB, and I'll allow you to respond to it, but I'm asking you a question. Did this nigga not come into the halls of Congress or the halls of justice in Sacramento and put on a full fucking performance?
He put on the show.
When Bobby Shmurda performed for Epic or whoever his label was, he got on top of a table and he was tap dancing and cooning. When Black Youngster performed for his label, he got on a table. When Stevante Clark was in front of the mayor, he stood up on his desk and he tap danced and he danced and he bucked.
Listen, like Reverend Al Sharpton said, I can't tell these guys
Al Sharpton. That niggas needs to go.
I can't tell these people how to grieve. But what I can say is this, though. I speak, like you said, when you're on this show with your five brothers and the other people, the five people that share this podcast with us, we all got a way of thinking that even though we got different variations, we all trying to get to the same goal and do it the best way we can.
But I don't want your son killed for something Stephon Clark did. You know what I'm saying? I don't want your son to be looked at. I don't want Junior to be looked at badly because of something Stephon Clark did. That's what's going to happen.
I'm getting to the crux of my thing right now. But just because you were smart enough and intelligent enough and had the fortitude, the mental fortitude, not to be broken down by the system because you realized that you were playing chess at an early age instead of playing checkers. But for the vast majority, the other 85% that don't think like that, that got to grow up in the hood that had four times.
Was I not in that same hood?
I'm telling you what the formula is.
I'm telling them what the formula is to have to obtain this type of thinking. You know what I'm saying? It takes a certain level of humility
You're telling them one way that you got out. You know what I'm saying? That worked for you.
I'm not out. This is a game.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I understand it, but they're not you, though. You know what I'm saying? You can't prescribe one medicine for 35 million people. So when they decide, like, okay, well, the Black community don't got it together. They don't have unity. They don't have representation in their community. Yeah. So we can go in there, disenfranchised community. And you know what? And if we decide that we want to jack somebody up today, and if it turns violent, that we can kill them and get away with it, or we got a great chance of getting away with it, and we talking about tactical reloads and shit, because that's what we can get away with in the Black community. But we wouldn't.
You say tactical reload. We talked about that. We've talked about.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, yeah, what you said, listen, what I'm saying is we can't have this white militarized mindset about the cops. And then when they go into the disenfranchised community and say, oh, it's cool that they kill them because y'all don't act the way that we want for that.
Let me ask you this, though. If this game is chess and you out here playing checkers, How far you think that's going to get you? If these cops is out here blowing niggas' heads off, and you know that they're coming after a certain populace and looking for a certain target demo of people that are easy to exploit, why would you then try to double down on that way of thinking and almost want to dive head first into that lifestyle? No, for
right,
what reason?
You're right. But when you started off there, you said he got shot at 20 times and he got hit 8 times and 7 of them was in his back. See, yeah. I'm with you. If you doing the hood rat shit, and you deserve to go to jail, But you deserve to go to jail. Now,
deserve ain't got nothing to do with it, bro.
They're not killing these people in shootouts, though. They're killing people. They're not in shootouts. They're just shooting motherfuckers. I don't like to say it like that, but like when I said when I watched the after service video, I heard the 911 call. They walked up on him.
How are we going to paint the picture that Stephen Clark was somehow was some sort of a victim, or he was somehow?
Because when you get shot in your back 8 times, when you get shot in your back 7 times,
when the blickies go off, they go off, bro.
You are the victim.
When the guns go off, they go off. For all we know, the first bullet could have spun him, and he could have.
Yeah, like they said, hit him. Yeah, okay, that's even worse. They got shot him when he was booking that child.
It was an execution. Don't get it twisted. This was an execution. But we're not gonna act like his lifestyle wasn't a contributing factor to him finding himself in that circumstance.
Listen, I'm not
sitting
here making no excuses for the shit that black people do.
Yeah, but
can I say something?
Go ahead, Scrum. Go ahead.
Y'all can quit slinging piss all around each other. Listen, I used to say the same thing. You know, like, I used to say, man, that should have never happened to me because I don't live that lifestyle no more. But when I think about it, I used to live that lifestyle, running around doing ignorant shit, putting myself in those predicaments. I just lucked the fuck out, right? I just lucked the fuck out that I ain't get a cop on his bad day or the day he was out looking for some shit to stroke his ego because he got some personal shit going on in his life. I just lucked the fuck out. But now in no way, shape, or form I come in contact with cops at all. But that doesn't mean anything. That shit can happen to anybody, anytime. I get pulled over for fucking...
That's what I'm saying.
A tail light, right? And I'm going to be completely honest. I talk to cops how I want to because they walk around and you can tell how they present themselves to people like they have no sense. Once they speak to me and I speak some intelligent shit back, or correct them how they, you know, some shit like, oh, what you doing outside today? Like, excuse me? And then he realized, like, oh, I can't do that shit right now. And then, okay, that's instantly, again, like instantly a combative situation for him. Oh, this is, you know, he driving fucking 2018, or, you know, it, young motherfuckers, you know, it's all the shit good, I'm just going to fuck with. And you can't avoid that shit, right? You can't avoid that shit. It's just the nigga.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They done had me on the side of the street. And y'all know I'm not breaking no law. They still have me out there.
But my 30 years, up to this day, I've avoided all those circumstances. That shit happens every fucking day around me.
The avoidance aspect of it becomes, it's almost like a second nature way of living. Like, the reason why I'm able to navigate and... Like you said, they're out to get us. Let's not get it twisted. Nothing is gonna save you when that hour hits and you're faced with it face to face. So I'm not saying you're gonna avoid it just by living a proper lifestyle and somehow if you live I'm saying you increase your chances and you let down your defense and you don't have the proper mindset when you stoop yourself in ignorant behavior. So it's like I'm able to navigate and find my way through this quote unquote game because I'm constantly arming myself with more and more tools, becoming more and more on code with how you have to live and move around in order to affect change and in order to survive. But I can't survive if I'm contributing to my own downfall. And I can't sit by and say, you know what, I care about you if I'm a co-sign your behavior. You're not gonna tell your kids like, yo, I love you and I care about you, but I don't care if you go out there and gangbang. You know that's adverse to their health and their life.
Listen, it is adversity helping their life, but like when they big girl said, like when you take your kids in the shower in front of those police, in front of that filth, and I'm talking about the ones that know they doing filthy shit. But it's being a cop is an inherent dirty job, no matter how you try to spin it, like, oh, I want to be a good guy. Like, what you're tasked to do and the way that they demonize the minority communities, like you have no choice because that becomes what the culture is. Like you said, when you said it, it's systematic. So if it's systematic, and everybody knows that they got millions of documentaries from white people and everybody about how police treat black people in America. And black people, like you said, black people, you got to do a better job. You got to do a better job of your behaviors and your interactions with them. But let's not kid ourselves and act like every cop you ever come in contact with as a black person, you always on edge. That's why they make so many skits about you riding around with this in the car and the cops come past you and everybody put their seatbelt on or everybody get nervous, even if they don't got anything on them.
Yeah.
You still afraid.
Man, it's hard for them to understand the communities that they vow to protect and freaking serve when they know that they feel you're given a position of authority as a different race. Like that, on top of being or thinking you're superior, you're given additional authority. Like you can't, you know, like so many times
you got some clown ass knuckleheads that have been charged with taking care of the neighborhood.
I mean, people often ask solutions. Let's focus more on solutions here, though.
I think the real issue here for me to digest is the fact that they understand now that nothing is going to be done to them for acting out. You get loud with me, I'm going to make you. I'm going to be honest, straight up. If I was a cop, I know what everything's happening. I don't want to fuck my life up in a sense, but if I got to pull my fucking pistol out and beat you across your head or put it to your head and say I'm going to blow your fucking brains out, or if I got to run around a corner and I say, fuck this, I'm not chasing you. I'd rather shoot you. I know I'm going to be on paid leave. That's a free vacation, right? I know that. I know that I'm going to eventually get my job back. And at this point now, chiefs and mayors are seeing, okay, we got to get rid of them. All you got to do is move to the next county.
As they say, how do you reform a cop? You can't reform them.
You can't.
I'm not.
The only thing you can do is segregate communities.
We're not even talking about cops in that sense. Like, we know for a fact these slave patrollers, as KB called them, these slave catchers or these white supremacist cops are what they are. I would ask, and maybe I don't have all the answers. I'm only speaking from my own way of thinking. And a lot of my thinking is fueled by anger when I see people dying for nothing. So I could be misguided. Just in my anger alone could be misguided in my approach or my response to a lot of this. I'm just posing a question, and if anybody has more solutions to come up with, you're more than welcome to submit them to the open forum, which is the culture. But far as I see it, like, the number one contributing factor to a lot of black youth, particularly men, being exploited is them buying into a lifestyle that goes, it's almost like hook, line, and sinker for the machine that's out to kill them. You're making their job easy. You making it easy. This is supposed to be a war. Let me not say this is supposed to be a war. White supremacy in this country has made it to where it is a war between two different entities. You have a white supremacist machine that's hell-bent on seeing black people fall, whether that means killing us or seeing us living in a substandard lifestyle.
I'm going to interject.
Go ahead.
Because this is some shit I heard from Tiffany Haddish. She said, you know, they were getting mad because, and I never took it as that, but she said they were getting mad because we were doing black people shit. And I was sitting there thinking about it, like, yo, that is what it is, though. Like, Oh, I got a noise complaint. Like, y'all know that black people listen with their music on loud and they partying down there and they're not harming nobody. It's innocent fun. Nobody's being harmed. But y'all still gotta go over there and say, oh, I got a noise complaint. Yeah. Because you're just making this shit up. Like, you're just making it up. I'm not saying that black people don't do shit that encourage the cops to come around. But it's just the black culture. Oh, y'all being loud or...
They do.
There's some kids in the street arguing over a basketball game. And your ass trash. But you just talking trash because that's what black people do in the black community. You just jonesing on each other.
Yeah.
And they just want to sit there with their cop car, look out the window. They need to get the fuck off the street. Like, man, ain't nobody ask y'all cops to come over and nobody called y'all cops. If these old ladies didn't call y'all, nobody called y'all. And the old ladies come out and say, them kids ain't doing nothing. They ain't hurting nobody.
When you speak in a macro sense like that, when you speak in a very macro generalized sense like that, it goes back to what I said, like, we know what it is. Like,
I'm saying it's that
unwillingness to really look at things on a micro level. That's the reason why a lot of these things go unidentified and these problems go unaddressed, is because we constantly look at everybody under the same umbrella, under the same macro perspective of the cops is out to get black people, which we know, which is well understood and not being disputed by me or anybody else that's on this pod. But it's that micro, it's that unwillingness to look at things on a micro level, an individualized vacuum. Go ahead, Scruff.
Can I say one thing?
Go ahead.
Go for it. I feel like we've got so comfortable with this. I want to break the bad news that this has been happening since freaking forever, right?
Yeah.
Back in freaking, what is it, Thelma, Alabama? You've been getting slapped and pepper sprayed and chased down and whooped. Now you're getting shot and now you want to speak out. Shut up. Shut up. Ain't nothing going to change. That's just the nature of it, right? That's just the fucking nature of it. Until you have some fucking revolution, some fucking warriors, some fucking soldiers, it ain't nothing gonna change. Shut the fuck up. You know Trump ain't gonna put in no reform, so shut the fuck up and get this ass whooped.
Because you
are a target. You're known to fucking be the animal of the fucking of society. You go to anywhere in the world, you're fucking a monkey, a fucking a thug, a fucking either you play basketball, you make music, or you're a fucking thug. That's it.
Yeah, you're
saying to
play sports.
Hold on, KB. I'm gonna give you the last word, KB. Let me say this really quick, and I'll let you close the segment. Close this segment. So within every group of people that you see globally, whether people say, "Oh, the Jews have this," the Jews this, or the Italians this, or the whites this, or the Asians this, or the black people this. Like, if we are all in agreement that we are in a war between factions, I'm not saying all white people are white supremacists. I'm not saying all black people are black activists in a war. But we are at some sort of conflict. In order to be a formidable fighting force or opposition, you have to have rules, standards, and guidelines that you live by. We as black people, one of our main downfalls as a people is that we're unwilling to subscribe to any code of conduct that's universally accepted and universally enforced. So it's like we're unwilling to say, you know what, this is not allowed as a people. Like, this is not allowed as our people, and you immediately will be corrected by it. We always say, oh, it takes a village. It takes a village, or anybody could have whooped me back in the day. But that's not true, because we don't accept any kind of moral code that we live by. We're all supposed to be Christians. Black's supposed to be a Christian culture or a Muslim culture, one of the two, but predominantly Christian. But it's like...
So why are you saying we both have white European values, right?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm using that as an example. We all get together and go to church on Easter. That's just like an accepted thing amongst black people. But when it comes to just standard uniform behavior, that's absence of religion, absence of anything other than, hey, we as black people have come up with a code that we want to live by, that we feel like is most advantageous of us. If we're going to call ourselves a culture, we're giving ourselves standards and rules to live by, and this is what we're going to enforce, and this is what we're not going to allow. But it's like, as soon as someone tries to say, you know what, I don't think that's right, yo. Like, I'm just observing this from afar, and what I see, knowing me being in a better position of understanding the enemy that we up against, I'm saying, like, that's probably not the way to go. People like, oh, he's hating him. Man, fuck out of here, nigga. Like, and how are we going to ever, how are we ever going to unify if we can't even agree on core principles on how to conduct ourselves or how
we should live? I don't even believe that. I think we do got a standard, a way that we all live, and I think white people criminalize. I think black people got a culture, the way that they act, that the way that they, that it'll be a utopia in the black land, but white people criminalize everything that black people do. Oh, y'all like smoking weed? Oh, that's criminalized. Oh, y'all like listening to your music loud? Oh, that's criminalized. Oh, you want to have a black person in the house? Oh, you can't live here. So everything they do is a criminalizing for every action. Yeah, do black people need to be on code and do we need to, I feel like I'm saying something crazy when I say, oh, yeah, do we need to follow these laws that they made for us, all these regulations that they put in place for us that we didn't have input in any of these laws when it was made. We were minorities that couldn't vote, or they didn't allow us to vote, and they just made up laws. Like they said, when you're in California and y'all legalize weed, so now you got to go back and y'all taking all the weed convictions off of the black people's my name is black people, anybody that got weed convictions in California, y'all going in there and y'all expunging it off their record. They're just letting you know right there, like they said, all these black people are criminalized for non-violent crime.
Nah, you're missing my point. You're missing my point.
No. I'm
trying to get you to bring this to a conclusion so we can move on.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I know exactly what you're saying. But what I'm saying is, if you want us to get on code, you said we need to be black Christians and everybody need to have...
I didn't say we need to be black Christians. I never said we need to be black Christians.
You're saying that we need to use that as a tool because...
No. Hold on really quick. I'm going to give it back to you again to try to close this. I never said we are black Christians. I said I'm using that as an example of how black people accept certain things universally as a people as okay, this is a code that we live by. Or this is something that we all as a culture, a majority of black people celebrate Easter because majority of black people are Christian. I'm saying that's something that's universally accepted. But when it comes to a code of conduct as far as behavior and certain things we're not going to allow in our culture and certain things that we're going to enforce by way of saying, you know what, that's fucked up. And we're going to nip it in the bud right then and there.
That's what I'm saying. When I say culture, when you say the black culture, you say, well, we need all to come in the dream. Well, that's what I'm getting at. Well, you want to be a black culture, but you still live in the United States of America. Well, your culture can only be defined by what white people will let you do because... The shit that they do in the Middle East, their culture, and the shit that would be fine. Like I said, when you're a Russian, do what the Russians do. Well, when you're black and you're black, you do what the black do.
That's a defeatist mentality you have right there. That's a defeatist mentality. There's nothing in white culture that's going to tell you. Hold on. There's nothing in white culture that's going to tell you that we don't have to. There's nothing that's going to tell you how you need to behave. There's nothing that's going to force you doing what's right as a person, as a black man. There's nothing that's going to tell you, oh, you can't educate yourself, or you don't need to be breaking into cars, or you don't need to be sitting around smoking all day and not taking care of your family.
Those are fucking black criminals. They're like, you got white criminals. Ain't nobody worried about those fucking black criminals. We worried about the black people that thought positive shit, dog. We're not worried about these criminals. I mean,
so now you've come back to my first point.
About the Falcon Sabbath, we already said that we're getting rid of the Falcon and the Sabbath. We already declared that. So when you get rid of the Falcon and the Sabbath, now you only got the black people that's doing positive shit. So these black people that's doing positive shit, they need to be on code too.
So when Haiti went through their revolution, one of the first things they did was cleanse their efforts of coons and niggas that was in opposition of them obtaining their freedom or obtaining their goal. That was if you study the Haitian Revolution, it's well documented on what they did to a certain type of person that was going to be detrimental to their cause. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything that history hasn't showed us.
But what you're saying is the majority of the minority. If there's seven of us that think something, y'all three think something else, and we don't like it, we're just going to kill you then.
But the problem is, it's only one of us that thinks it's wrong, and the majority of us find a way to excuse it for other reasons. To me, that's cooning. That's what you call that's cooning to me. If I'm giving you an example, we started out this with an example of a domestic dispute and a violence situation, And I'm telling you, and even Scruff came on, absence of me influencing him, he's made the same observation. And I've heard other people make the same observation. Like, the overwhelming consensus is like, this is something that we can look past and be acceptable because we like this person as an artist. So it's like, I'm not saying anything that I haven't observed. Like, when it comes to situations,
yeah, I don't think they're doing it because they're artists. I think they're doing it because they empathize with a person that they was in the same situation with. Like, should this guy lose his whole career? I'm just being real. That's how I feel about it. Like, hey, should this guy lose? Hey, should Fabulous lose his whole career because he got to a fight with a girl? When these guys, hey, I got to a fight with my girl, so I can get fired from my job.
Absolutely.
It's all about mentality.
Listen, we're about the culture, right? The culture do glorify negative shit. And I don't want them to glorify negative shit. I think being on people is negative shit, and I don't think that has no place in the culture as well. That's what I'm saying. I'm not here supporting none of the criminalistic shit that
I know that you're not. But I don't want the overall message to be misconstrued, and that's why I'm trying to forego interjecting white supremacy's place in all of this. Because we've done that enough.
You started to talk about
white laws, and that once again gives us an out on not having to police ourselves.
No, I think it's hard to prove ideology. It's hard, you know what I'm saying? And you can have an idea in your head to put it down in concrete and make it really work.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that because it's just an idea.
Okay.
So I can come up with an idea like that, like how I think we could have a black utopia, and you can poke holes on through it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you don't want a black utopia as well. It just means that, you know, you had a different way of going about it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's why you hold votes and things. You know what I'm saying? It's like that Republican-Democrat shit. They all swear they want to move America forward, but the Democrats hate the Republicans hate the Democrats, and they all still white. We all still black, and I agree with you. We do need to be better. And like you said, with education and these things like that, that's leaning towards a civil society. You know what I'm saying? And we should work towards that. But in that civil society, I don't want to lose the culture that we even have. Because we lost our culture coming from Africa. So whatever culture it is that we have, this is a black folk. Like you said, getting together on Easter or Soul Food Sundays, which I really hate. You know what I'm saying? Or just being in the hood, listening to music and drinking. And I'm not saying, oh, yeah, be out there being a wino. But, you know, like having cookouts and shit.
Yeah, a lot of the things that, since you introduced white supremacy, what I didn't want to, a lot of the things that we take as culture are negative devices that were influenced or given to us or being engineered by white supremacy. So that's counterproductive. Yeah. That's counter your argument when you say, like, we have our own culture, because that's exactly what I'm talking about, is identifying those things that we consider acceptable that are detrimental to us as an overall population
Easter,
of people.
Easter is the culture that they gave us. And that was your perfect example. How, oh, well, we can come together on Easter.
I'm not using that as a marker of our morality. I'm using that as...
I'm just fucking with you.
Okay, yeah. And I told you 30 minutes, 20 seconds ago that I would bark on you at any given moment.
I know what the hell you're doing. I know what you meant by that, coming together on Easter shit.
Okay, can I move this forward? Let's let this conversation breathe. We'll give people time to ingest it, come up with their responses, whether it's in support or against. And we'll revisit it on our next pod. But all right, let's move this forward because we short on time. I just wanted to drop a couple little parting topics or stories before we go forward. All right. So the NFL. I want to give the NFL the spotlight they deserve. They've finally... Well, some people would say they finally come around on an issue that's very, very touchy in our society today. And it's centered around equality. It's centered around intersectionality to some degree. Did you guys see the report that these two black men, will now be the first male cheerleaders in NFL history? The LA Rams have signed, let me get their names right, Quentin Perrin and Napoleon Jennings, named to the LA Rams dance squad to perform the same routines as female dancers. Now, I'll leave it at this. This is the same NFL organization who pretty much all but blacklisted a black man for speaking up for freedom, justice, and equality for black people, who was unable to be employed in the prime of his career after leading a team to a Super Bowl and two NFC championships. What's your response to this? Is the, am I making a forced correlation between two different levels of acceptance, or am I reaching by saying like this says a lot about the NFL? Scruggs KB, go ahead.
Are we leaving white supremacy out of this? Going merit based, like
no. They won. You feel free to respond to this as any way you like. I just wanted to leave white supremacy out of that last topic.
Okay, but
y'all
well,
free to respond however you like.
I think these male cheerleaders beat the female cheerleaders out of a position, so they deserve those spots.
Okay, Scruff.
And I believe Colin Kaepernick can beat these other NFL quarterbacks out of their position. He deserves to be on the roster in the NFL.
Meritocracy is best. Scruff.
Man, let's get serious,
KB. You said let's get serious, okay? My thing is like, I mean, go ahead.
I don't feel like he's reaching at all. I don't. But there is some slight correlation. If you really want to dig, there's some, and I'm not talking deep too deep, but if you dig, there is some correlation. It's like a slap in the face from my perspective. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, just so you can calm down, look what we just did. Like you Trump there. You know? Shout out to Trump, by the way.
To me, I find it to be symbolic. And I, like I said, I could be reaching on this, but I find it to be, when I look deeper than the surface level, I find this to be somewhat symbolic of an issue we talked about on numerous of other pods. And you have, I'll just let the listener take from it what they will. I won't even interject any further influence or opinion on it. I just find it ironic that Colin Kaepernick is literally fighting for his NFL life in the prime of his career, as a black man who stood up for freedom, justice, and equality for all people. And the NFL is beating their chests over accepting the first two male cheerleaders to be able to perform female routines. You take from that what you will. I have one more.
That's crazy that we want Colin Kaepernick to go out there and get his head, nigga, and get CTE so these white men can get richer.
Chill, KB. You remember what I said? I thought him going back to the NFL would almost weaken his position. I felt like he should have martyred him or accepted martyrdom if he was really serious about his cause. But in retrospect, I see how
these owners pretty much prove that they don't give a fuck about it. I mean, they get those pennies, those $85 million or whatever they gave or whatever. Like, they pretty much let you know, like, they don't care about you. Like,
you know why black men can't be quarterbacks? And I think the real cause, the real thing is that I don't think black people respect other black people. So, like, when you have black men talking like I was, like, I feel like Colin Kaepernick will get challenged in his own huddle. Like, yo, what are we running? No, hold on. But, like, where Tom Brady's talking, everybody's listening. Aaron Rodgers talking, everybody listening. But, I mean, that's just my
opinion. But listen, we had a conversation and I told you they don't let the black quarterback audible. And you said I was lying. I'm not lying. They don't let him audible.
Nigga, you won't even line up in the backfield properly. I'm the quarterback of this show, and I can't even get you to line up properly. I mean, you are the workhorse. You are the running back. You get the most touches, but I'm quarterbacking this shit, and I keep having to fucking call timeout because this nigga's talking while I'm talking in the huddle.
Well, we don't have any elite black football players.
Chill,
I mean, you don't have no Tom Brady on the fucking field.
No, on some serious shit, though. On some serious shit, KB. And Scruff, I'm gonna ask y'all both this. Do you think Kaepernick will play again? Seriously.
No. We too woke to the process of white supremacy. We already know where this is headed.
I mean, didn't John Gruden just fire Marquette King because he said he don't like his attitude?
Yeah.
Because he a black punter that likes to dance and showboat. And I don't want you around. Same shit that Chip Kelly was doing. I don't like that black punter. I'm going to fire you. You're going to send you to other teams. Okay. Because you're making too much noise for us.
All right.
And it's always like that. That's what I said. Anytime you black and outspoken, they don't want you around. You know what I'm saying? Now you're a headache. In the locker room, you're a cancer. How it happened that you ever had a stain on his goddamn career? Took at me. He can't get a... I mean, like they said, people don't even show up to his pro days. You know what I'm saying? His workout.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And they would watch him. But Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football come out and they got 13 scouts.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right. Lastly, I mean, do y'all have any topics y'all wanted to address really quick? Like, for the next three, 4 minutes?
I just want to say that Trump's innocent. Shout out to my man.
Innocent of what?
Big things. Creating all those jobs. Keep moving, you know, making America great again. You know, I appreciate it. I really do. I learned something at a young age. If you can't beat it, join them. That's all I got to say.
Scruff, let me ask you a question. You see that video? You see
the
Officer Sogan video?
Yeah, that's
the one that they released from the cops' body cams.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Y'all don't think that's murder?
I think all of them murder. Every last video that come out murders.
I'm just saying, like, in real, like, you know, like, I'm talking about, like, how they got off and how the Attorney General was talking about. I mean, all they had was they got fired and the other cop got suspended for 3 days.
Well, that's what I mentioned was the chiefs and mayors are learning, like, yo, we can't have our community together with this shit going on. Like, nobody else is going to fix it, so we got to make it right. You know, we'll let them retire or let them resign. Or, you know, that fire word is kind of big. Like, I don't think he got fired.
But no, they fired him. He got fired. He didn't get resigned or no penalty. He got fired.
I think it's murder. I think in most of these cases, it's murder. It's clear-cut murder on camera. I just feel like seeing that and knowing that that's what's going on, it's kind of stupid to still have people playing around and thinking it's a game out here and doing dumb shit.
One of these cops recently, that it was a while back, but that did murder and he was out of a job. Well, his lawyer, they sued and they got the money back, like $218,000. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, it's just wild. Like, the thing, I mean, think about it. He may think he's completely innocent. Like, look, he had a weapon. You know, I chased him. We got in the scuffle. I shot him. You know, I need to sue. Like, I forget his life. Like, you know. And
so that's when they said they got cops walking around throwing toy guns on people.
Man, you got two sides of the story, always. And if you put yourself in a situation, then you should expect the outcome, and you should expect your nappy head auntie get on camera, your sister with two babies in her hand to get in front of you on camera, and just to make sure the things, like, look, you can avoid a lot of things. Look, I don't go certain places because I avoid shit. A lot of people do that. Well, that's, in life, you got to do that. Certain people you don't hang around, right? Yeah. Now, and if I see Jeff on the interstate, you know, on breaking news, shot up by the cops, then, you know, you would want somebody like me in front of the camera. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right, I think this is a good time to end it. Can I leave us with some scripture before we go?
You reading out of the white man's.
This comes from the book of Nazir, chapter, first book of Illmatic, chapter represent. I think that's track number 9. He says, straight up, shit is real and any day could be your last in the jungle. Get murdered on the humble, guns a blast, niggas tumble. The corner is the hot spot full of mad criminals who don't care. Guzzling beer, we all stare at the outer towners. They better break north before we get the 4-pounders and take their face off. The streets is filled with undercovers, homicide chasing brothers. The DA's on the roof trying to watch us and knock us and kill a cop us, even come through in helicopters. Or drink a little vodka, spark a L, and hold a Glock for the fronters, wannabe ill niggas, and spot runners. Thinking can't happen till they trap them and clap them and leave them done up. Won't even run about gods. I don't believe in none of that shit. Your facts are backwards. Nas is a rebel of the street corner. Pulling a tech out the dresser. The police got me under pressure. I don't know what y'all took from that, but I take that as I feel like Nas is in that conflicted space right in that verse where he observes everything that's going on around him, and he's surrounded by people who are in the jungle, so to speak. That is the hood. That is the culture. And he understands that there's an entity out there trying to kill us. You know what I'm saying? And with that being said, I feel like it's on us as a community, as an individual, to knowing that. I think the knowing that, it helps you to better formulate or to lay out a plan for action on how you move, knowing the elements that you're up against, knowing the things that you're up against. And that's all I'm saying with my overall thesis of the whole episode, which is that we have to take an introspective look at what's going on, where we are as a community, where we are as a culture, what's around us, knowing that there's an entity out there that's hell-bent and designed to bring us down. And we can't be contributors to that. And we can't condone and co-sign behavior that's also going to be a contributing factor to that. And also with condoning that and accepting certain behaviors, it makes it dangerous for the people who don't want to subscribe to that. So by accepting that, your indifference is just as dangerous as accepting it, in my mind. You're not helping the person, you're not helping the individual, and you're not helping yourself or the community at large by saying, you know what, it is what it is. We need to have a code that we live by, a standard that we live by. I mean, you can't be unified as a people until you can agree on just the very principles of, hey, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to live by, and we no longer going to tolerate this. We no longer going to laugh and try to justify behavior because we like somebody or because we stand to gain something from somebody, whether it be monetary or attention, or we don't want to offend people and become social outcasts. So we just say, you know what? Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't really know what happened in that situation, or I don't want to say nothing about that situation. Be brave. Stand up on your square and say, you know what? Hey, if this is what it is, what it appears to be, I don't want no parts of it. And that's just not what it, that's just not the move. But I mean, I'm not going to talk much longer and preach to y'all much longer. Thank y'all for listening. We will be taking probably a 2-week break. We've reached a point where we've just ingested too much, from the culture, from outside the culture, politics, sports, religion, sex, relationships, to where sometimes I feel like we reach a plateau where we need to just take a break, recharge, come back, purge our energies, and just come back more refreshed and able to give you a less emotion filled a podcast that's being guided by negative energies and just overwhelming factors. So that's what we're going to do. But in the meantime, if you have time over the next 2 weeks or so while we gone, check out all our episodes, Trap Conscious Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play. Google the word Trap Conscious Radio. All the sites that are broadcasting our show, it'll pop up. So if you don't have an Apple phone or iPhone, you can find the show some other ways. We're also on YouTube. I'm starting to upload all the episodes to the YouTube page. Search Trap Conscious Radio. Subscribe to that. You'll be able to listen to the shows up there. And also, we have videos of our Google Hangouts. That's just another way to just engage in some content. I'm at YBF to Death on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to check me out. Catch some of my thoughts. Just interact with me on those platforms if you want. Email me at ybfpod@gmail.com. The show's website is ybfpod.com. Be sure to go there. Leave us a donation if you appreciate what it is that we're doing. If you want to see his platform continue to grow, it does help, or it's nice to feel appreciated that the time and the effort, or I guess the energy we spend on the show, is respected and appreciated. For Kaiser Babic, for MB, for HBC Dave, Scruff, Lolito, thank you for listening, and we'll get back at y'all. Peace.